Oh man, this thing is tall. Okay, I can't really do all that. Like Alex said, I'm an addict named Seth. First, I'd like to, you know, thank the ad hoc committee, because it's always an honor and privilege to be able to serve the program that saved my life and continues allowing me to live that life on a daily basis. I remember when I first came around, and there's a woman at my old home group, and she would always say, you know, I continue to serve Narcotics Anonymous because I can be of service till the day I die and still not be able to repay this program for what it's given me. And like, I didn't really understand like the magnitude of the life that this program would give me. You know what I mean? I can remember going through juvenile places, county jails, state prisons, and always thinking like, I got one more run left in me. And you know, it wasn't until like I'm one of them addicts that can get comfortable in a bottom and just accept it. Like my level of acceptance was strong even using, I guess you could say, because like I would get myself in a messed up situation and just be like, well, this is life and it's okay. Like, I'll just deal with it. Because like I didn't know that there was a better way of life, and it wasn't until like I got introduced to this program that I even thought it was possible that people got clean and stayed clean. Because like, to me, from what I knew, everybody used. Everybody around me used. Everybody I, like, most of the people in my family, and like the people who didn't, I was just like, well, they got some other issue. So like, for me, like, that was my reality, and like, I thought that was okay. I guess I should probably qualify, they call it. My clean date's December 3rd of 2013. I was taught, you know, I'm a member when I surrendered. And December 3rd of 2013 was the first day that I didn't put a chemical into my body. And I thank God for that day, you know what I mean? Like, the God of my understanding. Like, I can remember, you know, I was lucky, man. Like, I was arrested in 2012 and was in a bad place. And like, I can remember, like, I was really blessed through that whole journey, through like every jail, every prison that I went through until I was released. Like, I was real blessed. Like, my higher power carried me through those situations and like put good people in my life, and like people who had some prior knowledge of this program, and people who planted a lot of seeds. And like, I didn't understand it. Like, I got a sponsor, like a dude that had some prior knowledge of this program. Like, he was in contact with people from the outside who were members of Narcotics Anonymous. And like, you know, I just went up to him one day and was like, hey man, like, what's this step work stuff they keep talking about? And you know, I went over to the little block library and got a basic text and got a it works how and why. That basic text I actually brought home with me. I gave it away to somebody who reached out, and we went to a meeting and they didn't have a book, and I gave it away, but I pretty much, like, I stole my first basic text. Left right out of there with it. It said SCI dash, the name of the jail. And, you know, we started working a few steps, and there's this one old head in there named Walt, and he would always like have all these, he had some prior knowledge of the program. He had all these like witty, profound sayings, like, you're taking the first step in, what is it, the first step in the never-ending journey, or he had all sorts of witty anecdotes. And you know, I think of, like, some of those witty anecdotes that I've heard, like, over my course of, like, being around, and, like, the one that held true and, like, that I look back on and, like, make some things make sense was the longest part of this journey is going to be from your head to your heart. Because, like, we worked a few steps. I did the homework, the paperwork part, and, like, didn't understand about the application part and, like, taking it in and, like, applying it to my life. And, you know, I worked a 1, 2, 3, and 4, refused to share 4, and, you know, went back to the poker table and the weight pit because it let me out of the rehab program. And I remember walking around the yard one time, and I was walking it with my sponsor at the time. He said, you know, I go home in like 3 weeks, right? And I'm like, well, yeah. He's like, what are you going to do when you get home? And I told him all my glorious plans. He said, well, what, you going to hit a meeting? And I'm like, nah, dude, I'll be good. And he was like, you're going to use. Because, like, all the things that were in my plans, like, no, they had nothing to do with the drug, but they were every behavior. Like, every behavior. Like, I'm going to go home and obsess about a weight bench. I'm going to go home and order delicious food. I'm going to go home and do pull-ups at the park and try to, you know, have relations with my friend's baby's moms, because none of them wrote me letters. So now I'm mad. I didn't have no money on my books. So basically, like, I'm planning to, like, go act on resentments and, you know, do some slimy shit. And, like, he looked at me and said, you're going to use. And, of course, I said, well, none of that has anything to do with using drugs. And I came home and I used. You know what I mean? Like, that's what we do. And, well, at least when we're in that mind state. And I came home and I used, and I forgot some of the pain that I went through. Like, my daughter was born addicted to methadone. Like, my baby's mom was in the county jail when she was born. So, like, I found out my daughter was born through CYS paperwork, through my pie slot sitting at Camp Hill, washing whites in a sink. You know what I mean? And getting pictures of a child that looked like a baby bird in an incubator, and I stayed in from yard and I cried and I forgot all that. You know, I forgot about that pain because, like, I put some weight on and things are better and I'm working under the table, and, like, I used, and soon enough, like, I felt a spiritual death that I had never felt before in my life. I can remember, like, I failed a urine for parole, and, you know, I'm very grateful that I failed that urine, because I don't think I would have really had too much time, but that's really none of my business. And I remember, like, that week leading up to all of that, and, like, that week was spent of, like, me using, me running to the bathroom because I felt like a scumbag for using, and wanting to, like, get rid of that feeling, and, like, crying and pushing the plunger in anyway to try, like, a dog chasing his tail, just, like, use, catch feelings, not know how to interpret feelings, use to try to dumb those, like, push them feelings down. And, like, it was just a vicious circle, like a cycle. Like, my using was the reason I was hurting, and my using was my solution to the problem. And, like, I'm using, and just, and I remember thinking, like, a lot of times, like, this could be the one. And, like, crying more because, like, my daughter's in the other room, and, like, the whole time. So, like, I'm feeling this pain and, like, not knowing how to deal with it. And, like, for the first time in my life, like, I went to treatment. And, you know, one of the techs that were in there is a member. And she used to bring in speaker tape sometimes. And I remember we were listening to the speaker tape, and, like, I had prior knowledge of the program to an extent. Like, I knew some words anyway. I didn't really have knowledge. But I remember, like, this one speaker from Detroit, her name was something. I think, I don't know, her street name was Leash Leash. She was from Detroit, and she kept, like, saying our message. And, like, if you don't know our message, read your book. But it's an addict, any addict, can stop using drugs, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live. And I don't know, man. My ass was on fire in treatment. My ass was burning. Like, I was real... I didn't really know how to stay clean, but I knew I wanted to stay clean. So I followed some suggestions. I have wig hair all over me. It's driving me nuts. I called that dude I worked a couple steps with in prison. And, I told him, dude, I've been using. He said, I know. So, he said, I said, I landed in treatment. He said, thank God. And he told me he loved me and I could call him if I needed him. And that was one of the first times, I really felt that love that Narcotics Anonymous has to offer. And, there's a lot of nights that love is what I consider my higher power. And that love is, what really keeps me here. I don't know, man, that message, I remember hearing it in treatment, and it's so crazy to think about it, because any addict, I was the addict who not only didn't believe people could stay clean, I didn't want to stay clean, but today, the desire to use has been lifted for quite some time. I don't remember. When I go through some shit now, my first instinct isn't to go get high. My first instinct is, well, how do I get to the solution? I don't know, man. It's just crazy to, look back. Looking back at that and starting to see, that hope. And, I don't know, I remember when H and I came in. And I was in the back corner, hoodie over me, iPod smuggled in, not paying attention. And luckily, I only had one earphone in. I had my ear without it because, I'm a crafty addict. So, the music was down here, but, this was to show you, I'm not doing nothing wrong. And I started, hearing some similarities because I was, half listening, half not. And, I started hearing parts of my story and, started, listening. You know what I mean? And then, I heard my story and, I heard somebody who went through some of those same feelings I went through. One of the most powerful statements I've heard and I've made in this program is, me too. You know what I mean? Sometimes that can be the most profound word somebody can say to me. It's just a me too and let me know that I'm not alone. You know, I'm really grateful that H and I came in because, that message was so, so strong, and I found so many similarities. And, I remember coming home and, wanting to follow those suggestions because, some people said, if you do this, you have a better chance of staying clean. And I knew I didn't have any more time to give to the state of Pennsylvania. I probably wouldn't, be able to live too long if I started using. And I did not want to feel that spiritual death again. Treatment gave me a little bit of time removed from the chemical, and in that little bit of time, I got lit up a couple times. My spirit got lit up, and it was a beautiful thing. So when I got home, man, I hit the ground running. I need to hit a meeting. I remember getting honest in my pap's little PT cruiser coming home. My stomach's getting sick. I'm starting to see Ebensburg signs and Altoona signs. I got to go check in with parole. And I'm like, oh my God. I said, yo, you got to take me to a meeting. He's like, you get brainwashed? I was like, Pat, you realize I fucking shoot dope, dude? I'm going to die out here. And he's like, what? I never told my pap that. I told him I failed because I popped a couple Percocet. Wasn't that serious. My back was hurting. I got honest. I'm out here killing myself. So I followed a suggestion. Hit a meeting the first day. You know what I mean? I remember one of the first meetings I got to go to when I got out of treatment. It was at my old home group. They had a New Year's Eve bash, speaker jam thing, little get together. And like, I remember walking in with a couple people and like seeing the dude that brought H and I, and I'm like, oh, these people aren't lying. Like, they actually do this thing. Because I'm thinking, like, man, who just gives up their free time to go hang out in church basements? Yeah. And getting involved. Like, I remember that dude that I was in prison with told me, like, look, this is what I want you to do. Go to a meeting every night. Get 3 phone numbers at every meeting. Start getting in touch and like building a foundation, and like don't let them pass a meeting list around for you. Like, you do not accept a meeting list that gets passed around. Get up, get your own phone numbers. And like, I'm so grateful for that suggestion. Like, I don't sign those meeting lists. I'm not that dude. Like, you want my number, come get it, because that's how I was taught. Like, come build a relationship, because like that's how I was taught. And like, like, I always tell my sponsees, like, you got no excuses. Like, oh, you don't have a license? Me too. Till 2020, when you get yours back, can I catch a ride to a meeting? Just, like, what do you mean? Oh, you got some paper? Me too. Like, I'm not trying to hear it. Like, get up, get a meeting list, get some numbers, and get plugged in. And I followed that suggestion. His other suggestion was, like, get a sponsor closer to home, because this probably isn't going to... Like, you know, I can help you out, but like, you need to find somebody close and start doing some step work for real. So like, I did that. I walked up to my sponsor, and like, he's an older gentleman with like a Buddha-esque spirit. And like, I walked up like a second grader, kicking my feet and like making awkward jokes like, huh, you know, will you teach me how to get old? Like, laughing about like, like awkward as shit. Like, I want to get old too, you know? And, I'm grateful that he told me the same thing. Like, he taught me what to say when somebody asked you. He said, it'd be an honor and a privilege to guide you through these steps. And he's been my sponsor the whole time. Like, you know, got to work. Like, I've heard people say, you know, this is a 12-step fellowship. If you're not working the 12 steps, like, you're picking a weird place to hang out. That's very true in my life. Like, for me, like, this program, like, the program is the steps and the tradition. The fellowship is all the extra shit. All the conventions, that's fun. All the retreats, those are fun. But, like, the program happens with some books, a notebook, and a pen. Like, and I'm grateful that I had, like, some old school dudes teaching me some shit. And not just, like, letting me run around reckless, like, chasing halfway house girls and all of the some of the other stuff I probably would have got myself into without some guidance. That, like, that first year, man, like, we got to work, like, step one. And, like, I remember wanting to be done with step one so bad. And, like, we work out of the step writing guide, and it's, like, a lot of journaling. And it's not the one with all the questions, the green and gold. It's like this old school step writing guide, and it's got journals for everything, it seems like. And I'm journaling. Never, it seemed like about every 3 weeks to a month. Am I done yet? I don't know. Are you? I don't know. You're probably not done. Just keep writing. All right, can we go over this now? Like, it never just seemed to work out to go over it, and like, when we finally got to go over it, I remember reading through that journal, and like from start to finish of that journal, like I could read my level of acceptance growing. Like, because in the beginning, it's like, it's this person's fault, it's that person's fault, like my PO's an asshole. To like, it is what it is, I guess I gotta do what I gotta do. And like, you know, like the basic text talks about like that first step, like leaving us with like a vacuum and feeling real hopeless. And like, I don't know, like I started gaining hope really quick, so it didn't leave me as hopeless as it did. Like, now the first time I worked the first step in a state prison, and we didn't have any books other than the basic text and that works how and why, so he told me like a way that I'm pretty sure is more the other fellowship's way, and like make a list of, like that left me with some hopelessness. Like make a list of powerlessness, things you're powerless over in a state prison. Oh my God. Had everything from like what's for lunch to what can I wear to like what my baby's mother's doing to like if I'm, and like I got done with that list. I'm like, oh my God, I don't got control over shit around here. And he would, you know, looking back, like he said something to me, because like at the end of that he said, now make a list of some things that like you do have control over. And like on that list were like me, my reactions, and one of the most important things he pointed out was like about the power of choice and like regaining the ability. Like I wake up not dope sick, which is a very beautiful feeling. Like to just wake up and the first thing is like, man, I gotta piss. I need to get the coffee pot on. What time is it? Like, can I lay around for another 20 minutes? Not like, I'm going to be sick in 45 minutes. You know what I mean? Like, I have 45 minutes to get out this door and find. Like, it's not like that. You know what I mean? So, like, I had an idea that there was some hope at the end of the tunnel. And, like, when we started working step two, like, some of that hope and that trust grew. Like, I was coming around and, like, I got involved with service and, like, I started seeing, like, if I follow some suggestions and, like, I apply some principles to my life, like, there's a pretty good chance I'm not going to use today. Because, like I can manipulate with the best of them, but I cannot spin using into a principle. Like, I cannot make that any type of spiritual principle. It's like I was taught spiritual principles are never in conflict, and there is no way. Like, if you let me dope fiend you into telling you that me putting some chemicals in my body is a spiritual principle, like, I got a bridge in Brooklyn, and I will sell it to you so cheap. Because, like, there is no earthly way that I can say that. Because, like, man, coming around, like, getting involved with service and getting plugged in, like, I was told, like, get in the middle because you can't fall off the side. And, like, that's what I did. So, like, I'm seeing these people come around and, like, they're involved at their home group. They're involved with their sponsees, their sponsors, their step work, H&I. You know what I mean? Like, they're involved and they're not using. And, like, their days are stringing together. So I'm thinking, like, okay, well, maybe I do what they do, work out for me. So that's what I did. And like, my second step, like, that's how, because like in the beginning, like today my understanding of God is like a little different. My God, but it's ever changing. And like, at the time, like a lot of my concept of a higher power was this program and like the love I felt here and like doing the next right thing. And, like, I just started to believe, like, that this program could bring me to a point where the most important thing in my life wasn't using anymore. And, like, it did that. Like, it worked for me. We went to step three, and, like, I was going through, like, a lot of different stuff. And I remember going over step three on the Potomac River at the River of Hope retreat, and, like, just like, I don't know, like it felt like a lot of weight was off my shoulders. Four and five, like I got to know myself. Well, in four, I got to know myself. Like I remember when I was coming up on four and like talking to people and being like, step four. And I remember one of my really close friends in this thing, he's not here tonight, his whole family's like sick with stomach stuff or something. I remember him looking at me and being like, four and five, that's the past, man. Wait till you get to six and seven. And then I'm like, four and five, past. Oh my God, six and seven. Like, and then I was like, got through four and five, like just on the strength of, at least it's just the past. And like, I got to know myself and got to know some of my patterns, and I got to get some of that old baggage out. Five was real deep for me because, like, my sponsor told me to read the step and that I had to share it with myself, my God, and another human being. And he told me to, like, read my fourth step to myself in the mirror. Read it to my higher power. And, like, I remember thinking, like, man, this is crazy. And, like, before I start writing on steps, like, I have to read that step from It Works How and Why in the basic text for 2 weeks. Every day, 2 weeks. And, like, when I was reading it to myself in the mirror, like, I was remembering, like, I was catching myself doing things that it talked about, like, that I would be doing with my sponsor, like, laughing at some of the funnier anecdotes of my ridiculous patterns, crying at some of the parts that were just, like, almost unbearable. And, like, really, just, like, reading it in that mirror and seeing myself say those words, like, I don't know, man, it just sunk in real good for me. And, like, I went outside, I read it to the sky, I read it to my sponsor by a lake, and, like, five was freeing, you know what I mean? Like, I got freed up. So, like, to stay current, I'm hanging out on step six. It's ruthless. It really is. Not to scare anybody, but, vicious, so painfully aware of some of my defects, and like doing them anyway, and being like, what am I doing? I know better, and like reading things and having something sink in, and like coming to the realization, like, maybe I am a judgmental, self-righteous asshole sometimes, and being like, it's okay, at least I know it now, you know. One of the most important things I've heard while being on this sixth step, like, I called somebody, one of the more experienced members in Altoona, and I called him, and I'm freaking out because I don't even remember why. Because it was, like, walked out of a meeting early to go talk to somebody who was pregnant and left early, and I knew she was saying she was nauseous. I just wanted to make sure she was okay. And I remember calling this dude the next day and him being like, yo, you must be on the sixth. And me being like, well, yeah. Yo, put down the bat. Like, you went to check on another member who had been nauseous and pregnant. Like, you're going to be okay. You left a meeting 15 minutes early. Like, it's not the end of the world. Like, just put down the bat. I don't know, man. Like, recovery's given me so many things. Not just, like, material-wise. Like, I've acquired some material shit, too. Like, we tend to do that when we, you know, start stringing these days together. And, like, that's all well and good, but, like, the real blessings I've received from this program is, like, some self-awareness, some integrity, like, being able to tell you, like, look, I'm going to do this, and, like, you can count on me. Being able to, like, wake up in the morning and, like, have some coffee by the window and just feel some peace. Like, reading some books in my little reading nook. I turned my breakfast nook into a reading nook. I'm, like, fancy level 999,000. Like, I got this chair, and I just read in this little corner, and it's a beautiful thing. Like, it's so peaceful. Like, it is. It's so peaceful. And, like, that peace, like, I can remember, like, not being able to sit in some silence. Like, you gotta run. You gotta do something. I can't just sit here. Man, I can just sit. Hang out. My own skin. Like, that's a blessing, man, and, like, it's only through this program. And, like, the program part of the program. Not the fellowship. Not the coffee. Not sounding good in a meeting. Like, from some step work and like being okay with my past and like being okay to sit in the present, not stressing out about the future, because like it's gonna be what it's gonna be. And like, actually, in my breakfast or my reading nook this morning, I was reading some literature and it was talking about like basically that blessing, like not being worried about the past, not living in the future, and like just being able to pretty much be. Like, I can't just quote the literature all crazy and give you the page number and the line, but like I remember this morning being like, man, that is a beautiful thing, like just being able to hang out. Couldn't do that before. You know, I can remember coming home and not understanding how to like live life in society. Like, how am I supposed to get out of my grandparents' house? How am I supposed to like work a job with no license? How am I supposed, and like wanting to make all these excuses and justify why I can't do it. And like, I came home from treatment and got involved with this program and like heard so many Me Too's that I was like, dude, if that guy can do it, I can do it too. And like, man, it's just like through like applying these principles in all my affairs and like taking them into the workplace with me and into relationship and like showing up on time because I'm grateful to have a job. Putting in 110% because I'm grateful to have a job, like living with some integrity. Like, I've been blessed to, you know, I've had the same job for a year. I've been blessed to have gotten a promotion and some raises. I've been blessed that I can like afford to like practice the seventh tradition in my life and like pay my own way. Like, I pay my own rent with paper checks like a grown-up. You know what I mean? Like, it's a beautiful thing, man. Like, I came home not knowing how to pay an electric bill. You know what I mean? And like today, just a few years later, like I've had some men show me how to be a man and like take care of my own and like stand up for what's right. And you know, I'm grateful for that. And that's why, like, it's always an honor and a privilege to come serve Narcotics Anonymous in any way that I can. Like, I'm willing to serve Narcotics Anonymous anytime, any place. But, like, I do have a life today, so sometimes I have to be a responsible enough member to say, oh, I'm willing, but I'm not able. And, like, you know, learning that has been kind of tough because, like, that stuff sticks with me that, you know, I can't repay this fellowship for what it's given me. Like, there's no amount of service, but, like, I'm grateful for it, man. Like, I'm grateful for the opportunity to be able to come serve this fellowship because, like, it's truly given me a life that, like, I couldn't imagine. You know what I mean? And through daily maintenance, I get to keep that life. And, like, I don't know. It's always real crazy for me around this time of the year because, like, it's just a lot of, like, last year I was, like, coming up on a new key tag and picking up a key. So, like, I always get real reflective and, like, sometimes it's hard, like, with a lot of emotion. And, like, last year around this time, like, the drugs didn't get one of my friends, but, like, the lifestyle did. So, like, that's coming up in a few days. And, like, it's just been real heavy for me lately. And, like, I don't know. Like, I'm grateful for what this program's given me. You know what I mean? And, like sometimes I just want to beat it into other people. And, like, beat you with literature. And, like, beat you with, like, what the steps have given me. And a lot of times I want to beat you with traditions, but, like, I was taught that's not how you go about it. I was taught to put some love on some things. And, like, I'm just real grateful that, like, I've been afforded this life and, like, have maintained it. I mean, it's just been crazy. Like, this whole week's been kind of crazy. like last night I was at a meeting, and before we left, you know, there was a dude who just came back from a relapse and picked up a white key tag sitting on the steps. And before I left, like, I asked him, like, if he was okay, and, like, he told me the truth. Like, he wasn't. He was homeless now. And, like, that he had went out and used and sold everything and, like, had nothing and had nowhere to go and, like, slept outside and ate beef jerky that he stole for breakfast, and that was it. And, like, me and six other members sat there with him and, like, called shelters and, like, did whatever we could to know that he was going to be safe and, like, you know, That's the beautiful part about the fellowship aspect. Like, before we left that meeting place, like, I was comfortable in knowing, like before we were leaving, like, I hugged one of the more experienced members, and they said, go ahead and go home, get some rest. You know, he'll have food. So I offered to buy him some food. I wasn't going to give him no money. I told him that. I'm not going to give you no money, but I'll buy you a plate of food. He went to bed with a full belly in a house. And, like, before I left, you know, I mentioned, like, hey, what happened to your books? You got your books? He was like, no, I got nothing, dude. And, like, I ran to the car and just happened to have a book that I could give him. And, like, I got to give this dude a book, and, like, he looked at me and, like, looked like he sincerely meant it. And he was like, you know, he looked at us and said, I'm done. Like, I can't do it anymore. And I said, well, don't get rid of that fucking book. And, like, I got in the car, and, like, it was just real heavy shit. And, like, thinking about, like, you know, being in situations like that, and, like, just, like, where this journey has taken me, and, like, what this process has given me, like, like, that's the feeling of gratitude I get, like, when I'm in a Narcotics Anonymous meeting, or I can serve Narcotics Anonymous in any way, or I'm standing at the door of my home group greeting, like, that feeling of gratitude that I get, like, I wouldn't trade that for anything. And, I don't know, man, everything I have is contingent on my clean date. Everything goes out the window if I use. All that material shit, I'm not going to have any of that when they give me the nickel bracelets. Like, the first thing that goes is my relationship with a higher power. My friends and family are next. And, you know, I recognize that, like, the reason I have all those things in my life and I'm able to keep those things is because of Narcotics Anonymous. So, I don't know if you're new and you're thinking, like, this thing will never work. Like, I can tell you, for me, I've thought that, and, like, it worked for me because I remained open, remained teachable, and, like, I can stand up here and say, like, that desire to be used has been lifted, and, like I said, I wouldn't trade it for the world, and I don't know, I'm grateful to have been here, and thanks again to the ad hoc committee, but I think that's all I got.